Weddings. No offense to those who enjoy this kind of shit, but I'd rather be dragged naked through the streets behind a speeding Harley. My brother's wedding is better than most, at the edge of a vineyard at sunset, with lights strung in the oak trees above the reception, and a live band playing bluegrass and golden age love songs. And Dylan and Emma are crazy about each other and can't seem to stop having kids, so it makes sense for them to take the plunge, I guess. But the sappiness in the air is still making me queasy. As soon as the toasts and the first dance are over, I beat it to the parking lot, knowing I won't be missed. The bride and groom are too busy making goo-goo eyes at each other, and everyone else is too drunk. The wedding started 45 minutes late, and Emma's tasting room staff was pouring hefty samples while we waited. I, however, only had one glass. I knew a quick getaway was in my future. But when I reach my bike, I find my baby, a vintage 1950 Harley Panhead I coaxed back to glory with my own two hands, hemmed in by two smart cars. What's smart about an overpriced novelty baby stroller? I grumble under my breath. Not to mention poor handling around corners, a less than stellar safety rating, and the fact that they look really, really stupid. The husky voice comes from the shadows beneath a live oak. A second later, the most dangerous blonde at the party steps into the light, streaming from the lamps on the porch, looking as drop-dead sexy as ever. With her shoulder-length blonde hair dyed purple at the tips, thick eyeliner that accentuates her violet eyes, and a body made for the black leather bustier and long gauzy skirt she's wearing, Carrie Haverford checks all of my boxes. She's also Emma's sister and completely off-limits. I don't have many rules when it comes to women, but I don't fuck where I eat, and I'll have to face my brother's sister-in-law over too many holiday dinner tables to risk a one-night stand. Or however long we would last.
Public speaking is the most common phobia in the world, and I get why. It's scary as hell to be up there alone, exposed to an audience full of people. But it's something I've gotten used to. Since I was first published 6 years ago, requests for me to speak at schools have doubled and then tripled with the release of the fifth Kingdom of Charm and Bone book. Climbing onto a stage under glaring lights and discussing how I make the magic happen in my writer's brain shouldn't make me want to gnaw off my own arm with anxiety anymore. It shouldn't make my heart pound, or my jaw ache, or the valley of my spine become a trickling river of stress sweat. And maybe it wouldn't, if I were wearing clothes. Or if my insides were still inside of me and my intestines weren't sliding out from a slit in my abdomen. So if you'll just, direct your attention to slide 7 on the hero's journey, I say, pitch rising as I press my hands to the wound. But the slippery nightmare that is my lower digestive tract continues to escape through my fingers onto the worn wooden planks of Mendocino Middle School's theater stage. Low muttering is already audible from the first few rows of people, who are no doubt getting an eyeful of the zombie apocalypse level of gruesome. And it's only a matter of time before the ruckus spreads. Soon the mutter will become chatter, and the chatter a rumble, and the rumble a roar of laughter as I trip over my own viscera and sprawl ass over elbows into the gaping maw of the open orchestra pit. I've had this dream before. I know how it's going to end. I even have a pretty good idea what caused it, walking into the wrong labor and delivery room while my sister Emma was giving birth, getting an eyeful of another woman's emergency C-section, which was just too gruesome for words, has scarred me for life, and ensured I take my birth control pill every morning with a fervor usually reserved for religious practice. But knowledge won't stop the dream. Just like my small, cold hands won't stop the flood pouring out quicker now, faster and faster until a little blonde girl in the front row screams in horror and the principal shouts from the back of the auditorium, "What is the meaning of this, Ms. Haverford? This display isn't appropriate for children."